You're listening to Raphael Epstein.
Josh Nelson is here. I'll ask him about the wash-up from MIFF in a moment. Filmology.com's the blog, PH for Filmology. Josh Nelson, though, has been out and about. He's watching blockbusters again. The Bourne Legacy, what was it like?
It's pretty good, actually.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
No.
I was a bit, well, I was very cynical when I heard they were planning a sequel to the earlier Bourne trilogy, and it, shock horror, it wasn't going to include Matt Damon. I love a bit of Matt Damon. They've been very clever about this film because they're not casting a new actor in his role. In fact, this is a parallel narrative. And they've also got the guy who wrote the last three Bourne films to come in as the director. It's Tony Gilroy. A really wise decision. This is a guy who did a great film with George Clooney about 4 or 5 years ago called Michael Clayton, the lawyer drama.
Yeah.
It's got that that feel about this is the Bourne Legacy of a scriptwriter's film. I actually wouldn't even call this an action film. This is almost like an espionage operational film because
the trailer's very action packed.
They've just chucked it all in there. They know their audience. They're going for an action audience, but this is a thinking person's espionage film. I mean, it's not in the same vein as Tinker Tailor. It's not that kind of thinking, but the action in this film punctuates dialogue, exposition, and plot advancement. It's there to service the storyline, not just for the sake of action and adrenaline. Jeremy Renner plays an agent that is in the same time frame that the Bourne narratives are being played out from the earlier films, and this is when we see the firestorm basically of all these CIA operations that are coming out in the press, and they're trying to clean house basically.
Okay.
So he's on the run.
This is going on parallel to the action surrounding Matt Damon's character.
Particularly the last two of the Bourne films. So this is when the Bourne narrative is out in the press and the CNN sort of story is breaking, that kind of stuff.
Interesting.
It's really clever, and they don't pay lip service to it because they spend a lot of the first sort of third half of the film tying these threads together from the earlier films, and they've still got a lot of the actors from the earlier films, to this the broader narrative in which this, or the broader world in which this film is taking place.
So you have those people sitting in control rooms in charge of the spies. Did they use off cuts from the other film, or they reuse the actors and they're shooting brand new scenes?
Absolutely, yeah. So it's new actors and a lot of sort of cameos. The bigger roles now, the antagonist in terms of the operational scene is Edward Norton, and he's the guy who's like, that's it, time to shut it down, thinks everything's cleaned up, but it hasn't been. And Rachel Weisz plays a physician, sort of virologist, who has been providing chemicals for these sort of super soldiers, super agents, and she ends up on the run with Renner, sort of, and look, it's really clever. It's the one thing that I did find with this film, given the style that it's made in, where it is sort of exposition, it is character, is that it finishes with the kind of the high octane action, which almost seems out of place given the rest of the film. It's only a minor criticism, but this is a really worthwhile film.
Okay, look, we'll get on to your favourite spy action movies in a moment. First, though, some good news if you like going to watch films. There's been a bit of a cloud over the Astor Cinema close to the corner of Chapel Street and Dandenong Road. It now has a new owner, and it seems its future as a theatre is assured. Ralph Taranto purchased it. He currently owns the Brighton Bay Theatre and also the George, and he joins us now. Ralph Taranto, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Thank you for joining us. Why did you buy the Astor?
Oh, merely out of love, nothing else. It's a passion of mine, theatres, old films, etc. So I've known of the Astor for some time, and I know the tenant, George Florence. So it was just a question of putting the love before the money and buying what I really like to restore and give back to the public.
That's a pretty big act of love. I can't imagine it was pocket money.
Well, it's not pocket money. It's the bank's money, so...
How are you going to... What do you see as its future? Is it going to retain that one big screen?
Absolutely. It's heritage listed. And also it's under the National Trust, so...
I just wonder, to make money, is there the possibility of somewhere in that building putting in another screen, you know, to maintain the look of the main room?
That's not up to me. That will be up to George Florence, who's the tenant. I own the building. I will be just carrying out the renovations or the restorations on the exterior to start with and then helping him a little bit with the interior. What he does for business is entirely up to him.
How big a renovation and restoration will there be on the outside?
Well, but we start with the roof, the guttering, drainage basically, a bit of paving. We'd need to do the outside veranda, which needs to be restored, a little bit of the lighting. and whatever else we see along the way.
Okay. And inside, would you, I mean, I'm still curious, would you need to add another screen, do you think, just to make more money?
I'm not the one making the money. Sure. I have a tenant already. It's up to him as to how he wants to make the money, but I can't see him altering the inside. It's too pristine. It's a centerfold of Art Deco, and we wouldn't want to change that aspect for the theatre lovers of that era who want to find sure. that sort of aura about where they go and sit and watch a movie. It'll be a shame to turn it into another dog box because we have too many dog boxes in sure. Melbourne alone.
And anything, do you anticipate doing much to the inside? I mean, I'm just not sure if it needs much internal maintenance.
Oh, it does. There's been a lot of water damage through inadequate roofing and guttering. So there's a lot of water damage, which has damaged a lot of the plaster work. So we need to look at that. Plus, maybe something to do with the lighting there, maybe the chandeliers.
Right.
We'll just look at that as we go. But the main focus will be on the exterior for now. And then we'll see how the money holds out.
Okay. Look, thank you so much for joining us. And, look, I guess I should say thank you.
Thank you.
Ralph Taranto. He's just bought the Astor Theatre. The business of showing the films will continue as it is. And Ralph Taranto already owns the Brighton Bay Theatre and also the George. We'll get back to spy movies and also Cosmopolis, the new Cronenberg film. There's a few texts on the Bourne legacy for you, Josh. Does Matt Damon have a cameo in this film at all?
Well, I don't want to give away his surprises. He is in the film in some form. Can I say that? That's not giving too much away.
Yeah, no, don't want to have a spoiler. And do you need to have seen the Bourne trilogy to see the current film?
I think it helps. There are a few moments in the early stages of the film that they were drawing the links where I thought, I wished I'd kind of caught up on some of the lingo and the jargon. You think that would have been nice if I'd had the refresher. It's not wholly necessary, but yeah, it's probably a nice idea.
So if I've got a spare Saturday night, I should watch the third one just to refresh before
second and third one probably. Yeah.
Okay. Bob's sent in a text from Clifton Hill. Arise, Ralph Taranto, AO, for services to the community of Melbourne and generations to come. 5 minutes to 6. There's traffic report coming up before the 6 o'clock news. Let's find out about Cosmopolis, though. Josh, fill me in. Lots of big names attached to this one.
Well, there are. This is kind of a rare deal. David Cronenberg, I mean, we talked about his earlier film this year, A Dangerous Method. He's one of my out-and-out favourite directors. I think he's one of the most intelligent directors on the fringes of mainstream cinema. This is a really interesting thing. The thing I love about Cosmopolis, it's based on a book by Don DeLillo. I haven't read the book, but I heard it's quite sort of a social satire, political commentary. And the thing that stands Cosmopolis apart from Cronenberg's recent films is he wrote the script as well. And he's been quite open saying he took a lot of the dialogue straight from the source material, but it has that ear. It has the ring of the Cronenberg, the dry wit, the political kind of commentary, the sort of the social critique that's been lacking, I think, from his films like Dangerous Method, as good as those films are. This one, the basic plot of this film, and most of it happens inside a limousine. It's set in a sort of a semi-futuristic world. Robert Pattinson is
The
man from the Twilight films is a Wall Street sort of banker, entrepreneur, who basically wants to cross through Manhattan to get a haircut. Meanwhile, the outside world is falling apart into kind of global financial crisis. He meets various people who enter and exit his limousine along the way, and it's sort of that's basically the plot of the film.
A bit like a play, sort of talk oriented, or
it's definitely dialogue oriented, and I think this is where some people might come unstuck with this film. If you approach this film from the idea of naturalistic characters or interior psychology or character psychological motivation, I think you're coming at this film in a really wrong way. I think it's the style of the dialogue, the style of the delivery is really staccato. The dialogue is very much sort of driven by theory and philosophy. It's not a heavy film by any stretch, but this is not the kind of film where you're looking for psychological drama. It's political and social in its kind of.
And did you enjoy it?
Look, I did. This film won me over.
It's had a few pretty negative reviews.
It has, and I think maybe that's because people are coming at it they're expecting something that the film was never trying to do. And look, I'd love laid into Pattinson as an actor in a number of films. He actually works in this film. I think it's quite savvy casting because he carries the baggage of the pinup boy, the heartthrob. I mean, he's a commodity in a film sense, and his sort of his appearance works to what the film is talking about in terms of the relationship between technology and capitalism. And we get this lovely contrast between the interior, the stylish, polished interior of the limousine, and the chaos that's outside, and the inability of capitalism, of corporate capitalism, to connect with that outside world of what's really going on. This is a clever film. It's a film that I think you need to pay attention. You need to go in there with a critical mindset. It's not a film you can just switch off and munch into the popcorn. But I think it's a really worthwhile film, and I think it's great to see Cronenberg getting back to what I think he does best.
Okay, look at that. Now you've persuaded me. I read a few reviews and I thought, I'm not going to see that, but you've persuaded me. Nick has caught from Rover with an Aster moment. Hi, Nick.
Oh, hi, Ralph. Yeah, look, my most memorable Aster moment is going to see the restored version of Lawrence of Arabia in 70mm at the Aster. It's just a tremendous experience.
And that's what we need the Aster for. Thank you, Nick. Both Cosmopolis and The Bourne Legacy, they're on big wide release, aren't they, Josh?
Cosmopolis has been out about 3 weeks now, so I've sort of come back to it after MIFF. I think it's limited release now, sort of the non-mainstream. Bourne Legacy came out last week, and it is everywhere. We should also say Lawrence of Arabia, I think, is having a return season at the Aster on the new calendar. So if you missed it, I agree, it's one of the great films to see at the Aster. Check back in.
Beautiful. Josh, thank you for coming in. Josh Nelson's blog, filmology.com with a PH.